This is Upstate's HealthLink on air, Linda Cohen along with you. Benign prostatic hyperplasia affects 50% of men between the ages of 50 and 60 and 90% of men over the age of 80. And for decades, transurethral resection of the prostate, also known as TURP, has been the gold standard surgical treatment for this disease. But now there is a new procedure that treats these enlarged prostate glands with less risks and shorter recovery time. Here to tell us more about all of this is Dr. Jessica Panessa. She's assistant professor of urology at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Panessa. Thanks for coming in.
Hello.
So let's begin by helping us understand what BPH, or benign prostatic hyperplasia, is.
So the way I describe it to my patients is that the prostate gland in a young male is a gland that sits just below the bladder, and through the center of it runs the urethra, or the channel that you urinate through. It's a gland about the size of a walnut, and over time, the tissue in the center of the gland begins to grow, and as it expands, it pushes the original prostate to the outside. And if you think of the older male's prostate more of like an orange, the peel represents the original prostate, and the fruit of the orange would represent the enlargement tissue that causes blockage and makes it difficult for men to urinate.
So basically what happens is it's a normal process over time for the prostate to enlarge. I guess it happens at two different periods in life, around the time of puberty and later on. And as men age, just routinely, it does enlarge for the most part. Is that correct?
Right. Men will experience growth at different rates. Some men will have minimal growth and may experience significant symptoms, whereas other men will have significant growth and may have fewer symptoms.
But the symptoms are caused by the fact, as you mentioned, the urethra, which is the tube through which we urinate, gets pressed on by this enlarged tissue. Is that correct?
Right. So the enlarging tissue is wrapping around this channel, and it begins to create increased pressure, which the bladder has to try to compensate for in order to force urine past the blocking portion and out through the urethra.
Do we know what really causes this in some men as opposed to it not being a problem in others? Do we understand that?
So there's still a lot that we don't know about what makes one man have significant BPH versus another. We know that male hormones are permissive, but they're not necessarily causative of BPH.
So I read something that they're talking about testosterone, but they're also talking about this thing called dihydrotestosterone, or DHT. But are they just still at the process of trying to figure out what role these two things play?
We still have a lot to learn regarding the role of male hormones and how that impacts growth of the prostate.
So how common is this? I mean, in terms of this problem, where people actually come to you with a problem?
So this is actually very common. In my practice, it's obviously something that I probably see more of because it's my specialty area, but most urologists will have several patients with this complaint.
Is this likely to occur in particular populations? In other words, if you have certain medical conditions or family history, or is this just kind of random?
Although you can see certain populations may have more prevalence in patients with family history, may be more likely to develop BPH, BPH can actually affect men from all different demographics and at all different ages.
So tell us again what the symptoms are. In other words, how would you know or not know? But I mean, what symptoms would you be experiencing if you had BPH?
Men typically complain of urinary frequency, urinary urgency, hesitancy or taking a while to get your stream started, a feeling of incomplete bladder emptying. Many times men will get up at night to go to the bathroom, and some men will not be able to void at all, and we would call that urinary retention.
And I've read somewhere that there's also, sometimes is there an unusual color to the urine also, or a change in the urine?
So a lot of men will have some blood in their urine, which can come from the prostate. And anytime blood is seen in the urine, it's an indication that they should seek medical treatment.
How about the size of the prostate? Does that determine, I mean, is that an indicator if your prostate feels larger or seems enlarged, that is, does that always go with the idea of blockage?
It may, but not necessarily. I have many patients whose prostates are very large and their symptoms are minimal and they don't have any major health risks due to their prostate, whereas I have other gentlemen with smaller glands with some enlargement, but not nearly as much as others, and they will have significant symptoms and may even have some very significant medical problems because of the blockage.
So the blockage can really lead to some significant medical problems.
Absolutely.
What are those?
The things that we really get concerned about are persistent bleeding from the prostate, stones that form in the bladder because the bladder's not emptying properly, the inability to urinate completely, and that would be urinary retention.
So what role do decongestants, these over-the-counter decongestants, play in this whole picture?
Oftentimes, men with mild symptoms may find that their symptoms are significantly exacerbated after taking over-the-counter cold remedies, allergy medications, alcohol consumption, or other medicines that may be prescribed by other physicians. And this exacerbation can sometimes lead to urinary retention.
So it can make things worse, even if it's just a mild problem.
Absolutely.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here along with urologist Dr. Jessica Panessa, and we're talking about enlarged prostate glands and now a new treatment for it. Let's go back to this idea of when should you seek medical care? Let's say you're starting to notice some of these issues, you know, the problems with urination, the frequency, all of the things you described earlier.
When men start to notice early symptoms of prostate enlargement, it's recommended that they see their healthcare provider. Oftentimes, men may not know that they have a problem, and it may be discovered later when they're under the care of a physician for other reasons.
So any of the things you mentioned before, like something about the difficulty, the slow urination, or the difficulty starting a stream, or potentially blood in the urine, or great pain, you should definitely go see a doctor. But when
Absolutely.
Is it an emergency? Because there are times when it really is an emergency. When should you seek emergent medical care?
Whenever there is significant bleeding, an inability to urinate completely, or any signs of an infection, fever.
Because it could lead to what? What happens if you don't seek medical care at that moment?
Men who are in urinary retention can eventually experience renal failure or kidney failure. There's also the possibility of developing sepsis if they're not able to empty their bladder and there's an infection in the urine.
So they would go into complete body shock or a very severe consequence of that.
Absolutely.
So let's go to the treatment now. There have been numerous types of treatment. Sometimes they do lifestyle changes, some medications, but getting back to surgery, which is your specialty specifically, what has been done historically to treat this problem?
So, like you mentioned before, the TURP, or the transurethral resection of the prostate, is the gold standard for treating BPH, and that therapy focuses on essentially creating a channel by scraping away the tissue through the center of the enlargement tissue, or what would be like the fruit of the orange, like we had talked about before. There are other therapies that are based on laser vaporization of the prostate, where the laser heats the tissue and essentially boils away a portion of tissue that also creates a channel through the enlargement tissue.
So what the channel does is allow the urethra then to pass unobstructed in its normal course, and therefore the urine is not being blocked.
Right. After a channel is created through the enlargement tissue, urine is able to pass more freely.
So what is this new procedure? What's it called and what is it?
So the procedure that I specialize in is called the HOLEP, or holmium laser enucleation of the prostate. And this procedure differs from the other procedures that are available in that it is an anatomic dissection. And what I mean by that is the enlargement tissue, or the fruit of the orange, is removed completely as opposed to just creating a channel through the enlargement tissue. The way that I describe it to my patients is, imagine taking your finger and going between the fruit and the peel of the orange in order to shell out the fruit. I essentially do the same thing using a high-powered laser, and I'm able to remove all of the obstructing tissue, and then that tissue is advanced into the bladder, where a different instrument called a morcellator can cut the tissue into very small pieces and remove it from the bladder using suction. And then all of that tissue is collected and sent to a pathologist who can look at it under the microscope and ensure that there are no additional things we need to worry about, like cancers.
Yeah, and what, how much, you know, what incidence do you find cancer in those circumstances?
The numbers vary based on the based on what you read, but about 10% of patients.
And you're saying that, but is that a cancer we should worry about, or in other words, what happens then? Because obviously they're not coming in for cancer. There was no diagnosis of cancer. It was basically just an enlarged prostate. So what happens then when you found cancer as a result of this procedure?
So typically we do screen for prostate cancer before performing surgery in many of our patients, but oftentimes even after screening and sometimes even after prostate biopsy, a cancer is not identified until after the hole-up procedure and the specimen is examined by the pathologist. In those circumstances, the patient can be counseled based on the amount of cancer found, how aggressive it is. And if they are a candidate for treatment or if they desire treatment, it doesn't preclude them from having either surgical removal of the prostate for cancer, which would be a prostatectomy, or radiation therapy. And many of these patients are found to have a low volume, low-grade disease, and they can actually be candidates for active surveillance.
So basically, they may just outlive their cancer, so to speak.
Absolutely.
So tell me about what's the benefit of this procedure as opposed to the earlier procedures or the prior procedures?
This procedure offers, like I said before, an anatomic dissection, which doesn't leave any blocking tissue to regrow. And so the effects are long-lasting, whereas many of the other procedures offered will have reoperation rates within a 5 to 10 year period. With the hole-up procedure, we actually see an incredibly low reoperation rate, even in patients who've had this procedure more than a decade ago.
So in all, it's basically the it's more effective in a sense at solving the problem, but continuing to solve the problem long term.
Absolutely. And another significant advantage is that many of the other therapies that are offered are limited based on the size of the prostate. And so beyond a certain size, patients are no longer candidates for a minimally invasive procedure and would require an open procedure, which is much more, which has much higher morbidity. This allows treatment of any size prostate, even those that would typically have to have open surgery.
So there are a lot of benefits. Is it being done a lot of places in this region?
Actually, I'm not aware of any places within the region that are offering this procedure aside from at the community campus for upstate.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate all this information, and very important. A lot of men are suffering from this. Thanks so much. My guest has been Dr. Jessica Panessa, Assistant Professor of Urology at Upstate Medical University. Once again, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.